Well, let me read something, Pastor, and get us a little track here. Mm-hmm. I want to read something that I've found before. Mm-hmm. The sanctification mm-hmm. can involve a definite crisis experience mm-hmm. after initial salvation. Believers may receive a clear revelation of the holiness of God, as well as a consciousness that God is calling them to separate themselves from sin, mm-hmm. the world, and to walk closer to God. Mm-hmm. Through this consciousness, believers present themselves to God a living and holy sacrifice and receive from the Holy Spirit grace, purity, power, and victory to live holy lives acceptable to God. Mm. And that's what we have to understand. Acceptable to God.
Exactly, Deke.
Acceptable to God.
That's awesome right there.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because it's the word. We mm-hmm. have to be acceptable to God.
Right.
We need to let that just soak into people. Mm-hmm. It's not if my pastor likes me, mm-hmm. if everybody in the church likes me, mm-hmm. that's fine. That's mm-hmm. going to be part of it because I'm going to show them love.
Yes.
I'm going to have some fruit of the Spirit in my life.
Yes.
But it's acceptable to God. And God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. We have to understand that.
That's
each
right.
person.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, God is omnipresent,
yes.
all-knowing, all-powerful. Mm-hmm. He's everywhere at the same time.
Yes.
He has a plan for our lives.
That's right.
And we need to come to a point where we're more like Christ in our Christian walk.
Exactly.
And our understanding.
And don't confuse personality with sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
Because you may, listen, men, and I'm going to be quite blunt, you might be the type of man that's been, that was raised in the inner city,
mm-hmm.
and so you may come off a little more thorough, a little more hard-edged, or you may be the type of man that grew up in the suburbs and you dotted your I's and crossed your T's and you spoke eloquently. We don't want to have it whereas if you're out in the country and you know, that's all you know is the sticks, and you come and say, them folks aren't really right because they're not as strong as us. We were able to bale hay and be real men and lift up horses and do things like George Foreman. Nor do you want to be the type of person horse. To say, you know, you remember that one where he had a cow on his back? He stood up with a cow on his back, George Foreman? That you don't want to sit back and compare ourselves to say, well, I'm more hard, I'm a stronger man than him because I'm from the inner city. I'm mm-hmm. thorough, I'm strong. Or I'm more man than him because I'm more educated. I can speak well. We need to accept each other for who we are. Sanctification has nothing to do with how you were brought up. Really, it goes against how you were brought up. Because no matter how you were brought up, sanctification has nothing to do with that. It can take a man from the inner city. It can take a man from the country, a mm-hmm. man from the suburb. It can take a man from Paris, a man from Canada, a man from Mexico, and he can make you into a man of God.
Exactly. It's right. That's how we get caught up into this flesh, the surface, the
mm-hmm,
look,
mm-hmm.
you know, successful businessman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he must be blessed by God.
Right.
No.
Right.
The scripture talks about God is going to, it's going to rain on the just and the unjust.
That's right.
Because, you know, we have opportunities to make money, do things and be, and, but what are we doing? Where's our mindset?
That's
where's
right.
our heart when we're doing these things?
That's right.
We could be successful, but if you're not made to have this great influence.
Yes.
But there's always going to be a circle of influence around every man.
That's right.
And we need to understand that and work within that circle of influence.
That's right.
Because when we're running around in a rat race trying to get ahead,
mm-hmm.
then we're not focused on what Christ did because we will go right past somebody Christ wanted us to talk to.
Right.
We want to, because you got to understand,
mm-hmm.
God sees it all.
Yes.
At the same time.
Yes.
And he needs you to speak to someone who's in your circle of influence. You're in that place. God knows where you are.
That's exactly
again,
right.
Again, we have to keep and understand who God truly is. Outside the box of the church, doing, you know, stuff inside the four walls, miracle parades and revelation and camp meetings and revivals and
right.
miracle crusades. You know, that stuff is, you know, there's a place for it.
And take a look at
but,
things.
But, again, we want to go back to the normal day-to-day
right. every
living
single day. Yes,
life
yes,
as
yes.
a Christian.
Yes.
Everyone that I come in contact with
yes.
is a potential soul
that's, right.
that's either going to heaven or hell.
That's right.
And what am I doing to influence it?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible speaks of some will plant a seed, some will water, some will nurture. Are you doing that part with God? Because God saved you for a reason.
Right.
And it may not be right now. Again, we in the flesh, we want everything instantly right now.
That's right.
You know, even, you know, with young people starting churches and ministries,
mm-hmm.
they want it all right now.
Right
they
then.
Want to run around, get
yes.
grants, and get everything right,
right
now. But they don't want to endure
that's right.
what it means to build a ministry that where you really saving people's lives. Yes. And again, he might have gave you a call to come to ministry, but he doesn't. It's 20
not
years
yet, right?
He wants you to do it, but he did it because there's somebody 20 years down the road that he wants you to run into and save that person, and then he's going to use that person to do a mighty great work. You know, we look at Billy Graham. Most people don't know who evangelized Billy Graham.
My God, I don't remember.
You know, that's what I'm talking about. We all know Billy Graham,
right?
But you know, the very few people know who evangelized Billy Graham, so Billy Graham could be Billy Graham.
My God,
who evangelized? Who's another brother I know who was in the world? There's so many of them who were in the world and then were evangelized and converted. I know I can think of a pastor up in New York and Brooklyn. That brother was a Muslim in the 70s.
My God.
Now he has one of the biggest churches up in Brooklyn in New York.
My Lord.
I think his name is A.R. Bernard.
Okay.
I've heard his testimony before, and he was a Muslim. But now he's serving and working for Christ.
But it takes a process.
It's a process.
It's a process. And you have to realize that, everybody. Listen, man. Listen, please. And if we can, if it's nothing you can understand what we're trying to say, is this. Stop thinking you got it already. I know that's not good English. For other folks, stop thinking you have it already. You need to realize something, man. The longer you and I walk around, I'm not talking about being saved. You're saved already. But listen, there's some things that have to be worked out.
Yes.
And if you're not saved, you need to become saved. Okay, we're not arguing about what it takes yet. You know, you must be born again. You must believe Jesus Christ is God.
Romans 10:9-10
Him as your Lord and Savior. If you don't believe that He is God, He is the very God who breathed and the universe left into existence, you're not born again. You're not going to heaven.
Exactly.
Now, once you're born again, you don't stop thinking you have it all. I don't care if you've been born again for 2 days or 20 years. There's always something to be worked out. In fact, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 says this, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Okay, he's already saved. Christ already laid hold of him. Christ already got him, but he's pressing to attain something that he has not attained. Christ has him already, but he's still not going to just be satisfied there. Look what it goes on to say real quick. Brethren, men, I do not, men and women, but in this case I'm saying men, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Now remember, comprehend and apprehend is different. Comprehend, you can actually say, okay, I can understand it within a certain aspect. But apprehend means you have actually grabbed hold of it. You have a stronger understanding of it already.
Right.
Apprehend, I do not, it's not as if, okay, well, therefore, let us not, I'm sorry. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. But if I go back up and say, brother, at 13, but brother, I do not account myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, that says you can't remember how much of a player you were or how you had the ladies or how you did this and brag about it, keep walking in that life. I forget those things which are behind and I move forward toward those things which are ahead. I press toward this goal for the prize of the upper calling, Christ Jesus. Last two verses. Therefore, let us, as many are mature, okay, have this mind. And if any thing you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be the same mind. In essence, you have not attained yet, but start walking like you are. You might not be able to say, hey, let's say if you're saved, but you're slipping because your eyeballs keep roaming. You're slipping because you're smoking. You're slipping because you're drinking. You're slipping because you're handling your money wrong. Start trying to ask God to help you deal in those areas.
Right.
Let me stop going. If you know you're a drinker, don't lie and say, oh, I don't drink, and put mouthwash and cut. Stop going to the place where you can drink. Walk like you don't. Walk away from the bar. Don't go to the bar. Don't walk around where whiskey is. Stay away from it. Walk as if you're not God will help you to get there.
Well, let me say this, Pastor, also. If you know these are your struggles,
yes,
you're not alone.
Thank you.
This is what the church is about.
Exactly.
This is what the church is about. You know, we all know about AA, NA, and L. That's what it's all about. Accountability. Find someone to hold you accountable because
That's
you don't want to do these sins. That's the whole point. That's what we talk about, the process.
Mm-hmm.
And don't let other people's testimonies discourage you.
Exactly.
Because, you know, we talked about, you know, some folks' great testimony is, oh, when I gave my life to Christ, everything was gone.
Right.
You know, I think that discourages more saints than it does encourage saints.
Exactly.
Because everybody doesn't have that. I'm not going to say that the Holy Ghost can't do it,
right,
and God can't change you. Because,
right,
again, we know what happened to Paul on the road
right,
to Damascus. Right. But that's not how everybody's testimony is going
to
be.
But I'm going to be quite honest.
Yes.
I'm going to say it. If anybody says to you, man, listen to me good,
mm-hmm,
I got saved and everything in the way, they're a liar.
Oh, Jesus.
They're
Wait a
liar.
Minute,
there is no man
minute,
on
man.
The face of the planet that can say they got saved and everything went away. Because the Bible says if any man says he has no sin, he is a liar. He's just something that he has to deal with. He might be slowfulness. It might be not wanting to stand up and and represent the Lord because there's people around that are not of God, and I don't want to say nothing because I don't want to offend, so let me just agree.
Mm.
Let me not worry about taking a political stand because I disagree with the people around me.
You need
to realize every man has something he's struggling with because you're still in flesh. And when you get to the point where there's nothing you're struggling with, God will beam you up out of here because you've attained already. But it's not as if you have attained already. So if any man, you call me if you tell me that you don't have never sinned since you've been born again and you don't ever have a sin, I'll call you to your face lovingly, my brothers, you're lying. Because I'm sure enough there's something you're dealing with.
Because you're still in this flesh.
You're still in the flesh.
You know, and even we have... We have examples. The apostles of the scripture struggled with their flesh.
Yes.
Look at Peter again.
Yes.
If we would study our word
and
see that the struggles that were there for Paul, for Peter, these are the things, these brothers went through stuff too.
Exactly.
They made mistakes.
Yes.
And Paul had to correct Peter
for
what he was doing in Galatians.
Exactly.
Because he was acting out, and then when the big boys came from Jerusalem,
he straightened up.
He wanted to act like, I'm holding it.
Right.
You know, he's eating a ham sandwich.
Yes, he was.
And a pork chop.
He sure was.
But when the boys showed up from Israel,
he straightened up. Yeah.
He said, oh, I don't eat that no more.
I'm
not going to sit with you, and I'm not laughing at your jokes no more.
Right.
Because the boys showed up from Israel.
Right. I've never cheated on my wife. I'm not out here drinking. I'm not out here smoking. I'm not out here gambling. And I'm not doing here stealing. Now, I can sit in the name of stuff that I haven't done, but I'm sure if you hang around me long enough, you find something. You say, Pastor, but you're doing this. Now, that doesn't mean that sin is in control of my life. I'm not saying that.
Right.
But I'm sure if you hang around any person long enough, you can find something.
The flesh will rise up in you.
Something will happen, and you
because,
can say, well, that's enough.
Yes.
You know, go ahead, Dick.
Yeah, it'll rise up in you. I don't care, even if it's anger.
Yes.
The anger that you get upset, you know, sometimes we want to call it that righteous
indignation. Indignation, yeah.
Okay, you know what that is? That's anger.
That's anger.
And we know what anger leads to.
Go ahead.
James says it leads to sin.
Exactly right.
If we let it fester.
My God.
You know, we let it get under our skin.
Yes.
Then we start thinking about revenge. Then we start thinking about,
yes,
you know, I can get them back. You
yes.
know, I could do this. And, you know, it's okay because I'm God is on my side. And, and God knows that I need to get them. And it'll lead right into sin.
That's right.
And right into hell.
That's
because
right.
you're disobedient. Because you didn't love your enemy as yourself.
And sanctification starts when you're born again. You know when it ends? When you die.
Not when you die. When you receive your reward in heaven.
Right. But I'm saying to you, as long as you're in flesh, sanctification starts
sanctification,
when
okay.
you're born again.
I understand.
Once you're born again, the sanctification process starts.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to end until you stop going. As long as you're alive
in
and you're
these
breathing,
bodies.
Yes, in this body,
yes.
sanctification process is still going on because there's something being worked on.
Amen.
So we don't want to ever get to the point, where, even though we call each other, it's a saint of God, that's a saint, that's a saint. Listen, we're not sanctified. The sanctification process is not complete until you are dead. You know, we say, what is the meanings of promoting sanctification? Your hope, your faith, your love, prayer, self-examination,
yes.
watchfulness, especially when it comes to the Word of God, and it also lasts in a self-denial.
Mm.
You know, those are things.
You mean we have to deny ourselves sometimes?
Yes.
In certain things?
Yes.
In certain areas?
Mm-hmm.
So we can't, you know, we can't move God to rename it and we claim it. Don't move. Don't stay right there, brother. Let me read this right quick.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Okay. Sanctification is not seen as a slow process of forsaking sin little by little.
Uh-huh.
Rather, it is presented as a defining act by which the believer, by grace, is freed from Satan's bondage and makes a clear break with sin in order to live unto God. We're living unto God. Again, unto God.
That's exactly right.
You know what I mean? I'm not an impressive man.
No.
I'm not trying to impress the pastor.
Right.
I'm not trying to impress the presbytery.
Uh-oh.
It's unto God.
Uh-oh.
And at the same time, however, sanctification is described as a lifelong process by which we continue to put to death the sinful desires of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
The sinful desires of the flesh.
That's heavy, D.
The sinful desires of our flesh.
That's heavy.
This flesh will move us. Mm. This flesh is never content.
Exactly.
This flesh thinks it's doing okay, and this flesh will talk you into thinking you want more. You know, when the last time you heard it? When the last time? It's been a while. But when the last time we heard a sermon or preached a sermon about being content where you are?
My God, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
Being
content.
Because
that's not going to do it. No.
Being content.
Yeah.
Standing your ground.
Uh-huh.
I'm happy. You know, once a long time ago, you know, when I was Christian in my original church, we talked to a brother one time. The brother said, you know what? All my bills is paid. The rent's paid. The lights paid. Phone paid. Mm-hmm. You know, everything's paid. Mm-hmm. And I'm dead broke. But I'm happy.
I'm happy. Right. Right.
See what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I paid my time. You know, that was his thing. For that week, that brother was content because everything was paid. He was able to pay his tithes, all his bills was everything and paid. And that brother was content. But he had no cash in his pocket.
Wait a minute, D.
He was broke. Wait, no. This is what I'm talking about. This is the kind of stuff where we need to be, because sometimes we need to be content where we are and just wait for God to take us to the next thing.
You mean you're telling
because
these
men? Because go ahead.
You're telling these men out here, D, that they're supposed to just sit back if their bills are paid and they're not driving a Buick. You got a nice Buick, man, and these guys are driving a Hyundai. They're supposed to be happy with what they have and not be looking toward what you have. They're supposed to be able to say, okay, my bills are paid, and I should be happy. What if they want a little more? They want to be able, something.
But they ask you to ask yourselves, why do you want more? Okay, I understand. I drove hoopties, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I've been, how old am I? I'm a couple years old. I've had like 7 cars. Again, okay. That's fine. I mean, sometimes you're tired of taking your car to the shop every week. It wears you down.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Your car, not every week. I won't say every week.
Right.
But, you know, every couple of months, something else happens to it.
Uh-huh.
And you would like to have a new car where you don't have to. That's fine.
Right.
But there's a way to achieve that goal. There's a difference between setting that goal to get you a car that's reliable, trustworthy. You can take your family, jump in it, and go, you know, drive out. Not that it's going to break down on you.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
That's different.
Okay.
But we content where we are until we get to that point.
Uh-huh.
You know, I have the bishop teaches all the time. Don't look at what people drive in this parking lot to church, because you don't know what they did to get there.
Hello. Well, how they living to get it.
How they living to get it. Because if they living, if they in debt, if they $50,000 in debt, and they driving this nice car on Sunday, so what?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They driving a nice car on Sunday, but their lives is all discombobulated. They can't even serve God.
I had a friend like that.
They can't even serve God during the week because why? They got to work. They got to find another job.
Yes.
They got to keep a hustle. You know, back in the day, we called it a hustle.
Right.
You got to keep a hustle going.
Right.
To keep the stuff that you got, because you can't do outreach. You can't serve nobody.
Mm-hmm.
You can't serve the homeless, the hungry, the least of these. You can't do nothing the Bible describes us to do, because you're trying to keep the note. Keep the wolves from your door.
So
that's not God.
So the sanctification process should help make me content.
Because yes, especially if you're coming out of a world of greed.
Uh-huh.
Because greed is a sin.
That's good, D.
So if you're coming out of the world where greed, where you're in the rat race to build, the Bible speaks to the man who builds the barns for more stuff and more barns for more stuff. You get saved, you want to come out of that.
That was pretty good, D. I like that.
You know what I'm saying?
That's good.
Let me finish my statement here, because, you know, there's so much to it. This is why.
Uh-huh.
God is multifaceted, and we have to realize what he's saying to us.
Mm.
I mean, we talk about prosperity, but we need to make sure we define in the words we're using and that they're used in a godly way.
My God.
And everything we do as Christians is to glorify him.
Amen.
Now, some of y'all got BMWs, Mercedeses, and y'all ain't glorifying God, and I can tell you why.
Why is that, D?
Because you got a Mercedes and a BMW, and you come to church, and there's 3 empty seats in it. Every week.
Every week.
You coming in a car that there ain't nobody in it.
That's right.
And you can't tell me that either unbeliever or someone in the body of Christ couldn't use a ride.
You can say it again.
They could use a ride.
And then also,
you could use a ride. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I receive that.
Examine yourself.
That's what I'm about to say. That's what I want to say. Check yourself real quick. And I know we got to get out of here, Deke, but I'm going to say this real quick. Man, we want to make sure that in our sanctification process, don't listen to the teachings out there that's telling you that in order for you to know that you're representing God, that you always have to have the best house, the best car. Because I know men, and it's sad, some of them, just talked to one of them the other day who was working two jobs. And watch this. One job is paying him over $100,000 a year. One job is paying this man over $100,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's working a second job that's paying somewhere in that range, driving a nice Mercedes-Benz.
Mm-hmm.
Went to his home to sit down with him, open his refrigerator, and guess what he had in it? Some bottled Perrier water. And I think he had some expensive lemons that you can't buy just in a regular store.
He had organic lemons.
Organic lemons. And that's all he had. But sanctification does not work like that. Again, sanctification is a process that separates you. We don't want to sit back and let you men think that once you're justified, that's one thing. But let the Holy Ghost, and listen, the Holy Ghost does not belong to one denomination. The Holy Ghost belongs to anybody that's a born-again believer.
Amen.
But once you're born again, let the Holy Ghost work on you to sanctify you, to bring you to who you are supposed to be, to fix you morally, not just morally, not just ceremonially, but not just outwardly, but inwardly as well.
Inwardly, exactly. Amen. We're out of time again for this segment. We hope that something here perked you, encouraged you, enlightened you, that you would seek to study the Word of God more, to pray more, to move your walk closer to be like Him. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Pastor?
Yes, sir. Listen, want to share time with you if you get an opportunity to. That's pretty good, Deacon. To come past and fellowship with me and my church, or our church, at Uplift Through the Word Ministries. We're a church that believes in the Word. We believe in our theory. Our motto is we have been lifted to lift up others. We believe the Word of God is the center focus of our ministry. We're located at 107 Mountain Road, Suite W, in Pasadena, Maryland, 21122. You can reach us at 410-768-8896. You can also see our webpage at upliftmd.org.
Praise the Lord, I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like you to welcome back to this week's show. We're back here with Pastor Cornwell, Maurice Cornwell, Pastor Larry Watkins. Gentlemen, thank you for coming. Appreciate you spending your time and sacrificing to come and join us and be able to edify the brothers this week. Today we're going to talk about, we're continuing on a series of shows, and we talk about being a focused man, being a man who's focused. And we're using the FOCUS acronym. We're talking about fellowship, obedience, Christ, being usable, serving, empowered, and development. And those are some of the things we want to talk about right now that men struggle with, that men should seek to achieve, to grow in. And this week we're going to talk about being usable and what it means to serve, what it means to be usable by God, and what it means to serve God. Amen? So we're going to start with the scripture and then with prayer, and then we're going to jump right into the conversation. I'm reading the scripture. I'm reading from Matthew chapter number 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And I'm going to share this short paragraph from a devotion that I've been reading lately called Man in the Mirror. And it says, consider for a moment what the world would be like without the church. Who would be serving the lowly, fighting for justice, and calling for mercy? Who would be bringing the gospel of hope and salvation? We have a lot of critics, but no rivals. Salt and light in action is powerful and is changing the world. Father God, we thank you, O God. We thank you for making us salts and light, O God, in this dark and evil day. We thank you, O God, in this culture, O God, that we stand on your word. We stand on the principles of your word. We stand on your teachings, O God. And Father, we thank you for the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, that washed us and redeemed us, O God.
My God.
Continue to watch over us. Continue to bless us, O God. Help us, O God, to be better men, O God. Help us to focus, O God, that we might be that we might glorify you in our daily lives. Teach us to be accountable. Teach us to be men of integrity. And teach us to be men of godly character. And this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Cuomo, let's start with you. You got a couple things coming up in your church here locally, where you're located here in Pasadena, Maryland, Van Buren, Maryland. Mm-hmm. Share with the audience what you got coming up.
Thank you, Brother Deacon. We have a free movie night. It's going to be on Saturday, August the 23rd, at 7 p.m. at our location, Up and Through the Word Ministries. It's 107 Mountain Road, Suite W. Our phone number is 410-768-8896. We're going to have, the movie's going to be God's Not Dead. Okay. Amen. It's a very, very good movie. And, we'll have snacks available and that you can, partake of. And also, the following day, on Sunday, instead of having our service in the building, we're going to have a cookout, if you would.
You're like a church with no walls.
Exactly. You know, so we're going to have our, food and activity, games and prizes. We're going to be at Fort Smallwood Park. And that's at 9500 Fort Smallwood Road in Pasadena, Maryland. Again, you can call our church number or see our website, upliftmd.org, for more information.
Amen. What's your church phone number?
It's 410-768-8896.
Amen. Amen. And you'll see those credits at the end of the show. And Pastor, I mean, you're doing this as an outreach?
Yes, exactly.
At a time of fellowship?
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Yes, it is exactly that. And we invite our family, our friends, other churches. It's not about trying to do anything but fellowship. Get a chance to bring people around. And you look for saved, unsaved folks, friends, family. Just get a chance to let your hair down. Looking at a movie is a good time to sit down and you eat some popcorn. Just fellowship together.
Amen.
You know, out of the totally religious, stringent environment. And then also the picnic. You know, you get a chance to, I mean, no beer. No wine, but
thank you, Pastor. But we make that clear.
We can let our hair down at the church cookout and have a good time. You know,
amen.
Have some games.
Amen. It's still a church cookout.
Yes.
Fort Smallwood. They have basketball court.
Actually, they do. They have a basketball.
You got softball court.
I don't think they have softball.
They got softball.
Yes.
Okay, so we're gonna bring some sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
And we can play some basketball. We got volleyball.
They have volleyball and they have basketball. Yes.
Okay, so volleyball, basketball,
mm-hmm.
and then we're gonna have a grill.
Amen. Yes.
All right. I'm coming for the grill.
Sounds good.
I'm not playing. No. Amen. Amen. But amen. Thank you, Pastor. We invite you to come. It's an opportunity to come meet the pastor live. Let me see. I'll be there, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have any issues with what we're about to talk about, you can come see us in the park.
That's right.
We can straighten you out. I mean, I'm sorry. We can share with you and help you and encourage you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, brothers, we're going to talk about, again, we're talking about being a focused man,
mm-hmm.
and we have talked in previous shows about fellowship, obedience, and Christ, having Christ in our life to help us focus to be better men. Mm-hmm. But now we're going to talk about being used by God, and how do we serve God? So I'm going to start with you, Pastor Larry. When we talk about being used by God and being usable,
mm-hmm.
and being able to be available for God's use. What does that mean?
That means, like I said before about obedience,
mm-hmm.
it means that whatever the Lord tells me to do, that's what I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
In Isaiah, he talked about when he saw the Lord, God said, who will go for us and who will speak for us?
Amen.
Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me.
That's right.
And being usable is the essence of that statement. Here am I, Lord, send me. I want to be used by you. I want to be the hand of God. I want to be the one that you can use to do whatever you need, the servant of God. And being a servant means it's not about what I want to do,
that's right.
but about what God is telling me to do.
Amen.
If you have a servant, your servant is not there to perform his own will.
Mm.
He's there to do the will of the master or the person Amen. Who's using him as a servant.
Well, let me interject something here.
Yes.
When you said that, I want to use a word that in our culture may seem negative, but are we a slaves to righteousness? We're slaves to
yes.
Christ. We're slaves to Christ.
Yes.
I mean, I want to use that word because I want to perk right. people's thinking mm. of what it really means to be a Christian.
That's right.
This is not about us making up what parts of the scripture we want to listen to. And like you were saying,
uh-huh.
when God calls us and tells us to do something,
that's right.
are we doing it? And again, it's in his word.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it's not compromising the word. Because we know we can go down the line of these issues in this culture. Everybody's talking about what the Word of God says.
That's right.
I don't care what you. Okay, that's what you believe.
Yes.
But don't call it godly.
That's right.
Don't call it compassion. Don't call it what would Christ do? Because Christ. Well, never mind.
Even Paul, Paul called himself a bondservant.
That's right.
Yeah, he used the term bondservant, meaning that he was bound to God in service by a debt that he owed. And that debt was simply the saving of his life.
That's Amen. Right.
The saving of our lives bonds us to Christ. Romans 12:1 says it's our reasonable service.
That's exactly right.
That means logically, when we look at everything that God has done for us, when we look at everything that Christ died for us, logically, we can come up with no other conclusion but to serve him.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Cornwell, what do you think about? We talk about being usable. How to, and being serving. What is being usable, Christ? What does that look like? Is it something, I'd like to point these things out. The traditions of men. Does it mean we got to go get a new suit and get a tie? And then we got to go sit through the deaconship training and the minister in training and the whatever else stuff that the church puts together.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm not going to belittle that.
Right.
But we have folk who go through this training thinking that's what, you know, is that being a servant or not?
Gotcha.
Or is that preparing you for a new level of testing?
Exactly.
Because, you know, everybody want to say, because we're in the title in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Put it this way. If I'm the enemy, am I going after the leaders first or the rank and file?
I'll go after rank and file. All of them. Because the head, a lot of times you can go after the head, but that's the obvious attack.
Mm-hmm.
If you go after the head sometime, you try to go right after the head, or it's not going to. Believe it or not, the rank and file will surround the head and help protect the head.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find the head is strong enough to deal with this. But if you start eating away at the smaller things, start hitting the feet, hitting the ankles, and getting the stuff in the rank and file, after a while, the head's going to get so tired from running around trying to protect all everything else that you can actually get to the head.
Amen.
You know, you just missed the word of slavery when it comes to Christ. And I looked up his 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 22.
Mm-hmm.
The King James Version says, "For he is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise, he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant." But a different version, it reads in the NLT, New Living Translation, says, "And remember, if you were a slave when the Lord called you, you are now free in the Lord."
Mm-hmm.
"And if you were free when the Lord called you, you are now a slave to Christ."
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
So it's like you've been flipped back and forth, been the opposite direction of what you're thinking. When you're talking about becoming a servant, being usable means being effective.
Mm-hmm.
So if what you're doing is effective, then you're being used the way you've been designed to be used. I tell everybody all the time. It's like went out and a couple years back or whatever. I went and got myself those big tool cases you can get from this hardware store where you can put all your drawers, slide your drawers, you can put all your different tools in different drawers.
Yeah.
I got one of those, and I only had about some tools to fill it up. So I mean, I had to fill up with different tools.
Right.
But when I didn't have all the tools I needed, I was starting to say, "Go and get a hammer," and he go get a screwdriver and start banging on something with a screwdriver, it's not being utilized the right way.
Exactly.
And the bad part about using what God has provided to be used the way he wanted to, when you use it the wrong way, later on when you go to use it the right way, it's not so usable.
Exactly.
So when you take what God has given you, if God has given you a screwdriver that he uses as a screwdriver, and you use it as a hammer banging on things, later on when you want to use it, you can still use it, but it won't be as effective. And you need to pray that God will do something to fix that tool, and he does. But the thing about it is that there's some wear and tear that's occurred. It's the same thing in our Christian life. It's time for God wanting to use me for certain things he designed me to use for in a season to be used for it. And because I'm not, like I said earlier, no God, no Lord, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. What ends up happening is, what ends up happening is, God says, "Okay, go ahead." But some damage is done. Some things that's happening around me, some stuff is happening, and later on when I want to go be used, people will say, "Remember when you did this?" And the devil will point back out what you did, and your usability won't be as effective.
Exactly.
Now, God can heal, and he can use anyway later on. Amen. We do believe that. But we're just saying, just don't take that for granted and start being used the wrong way intentionally.
Amen. Amen. I agree. Mr. Larry, what do you think?
I agree totally with what Pastor Cornwell is saying. We have to be careful that we are used effectively. And let me also say this, Deke, you brought up about Sunday being Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday morning is not about being used. It's about worship.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. And many of us think that we are being used if we're available only for Sunday morning.
Mm.
True usability is not what you do on Sunday morning, but what's done outside the walls of the church.
That's right.
Amen.
That's being used. What you do when you meet a brother on the street or a sister on the street, what you do in helping those that need help, what you do in feeding those that need to be fed, what you do when you're trying to do outreach and those things, that's being used. Sunday morning is worship.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. Amen. You're absolutely right. I'm glad you brought that up because that was something I was taught in my early church. Mm-hmm. That Sunday morning was the time to come in, refresh, recharge, to be able to go back out.
Mm-hmm.
We look at some churches think Sunday morning is that if they serve whatever, if they run around cleaning the building, they think that's their reasonable service and that's it.
Uh-huh.
So they can do anything they want Monday through Saturday because try and get folk out here three times a week.
Rough.
I'm just saying,
yeah. Right?
Because you know, they show, that's why you know I tell folk now. I've come to this understanding personally for myself. If I witness or minister to someone, I tell them come to a Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
I'll encourage anybody that I witness to or I'm going to share Christ with. I'll tell them when the Bible study is. I let them come to the Bible study so they can hear God's word being reasoned out and talked about.
That's good.
Because they'll come to Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we know the churches, they have magnificent worship services, mm-hmm. they have all these things, but then, you know, sometimes they're above the non-believer's
mm-hmm.
head.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Bible study, they might hear a word and connect mm-hmm. with a word. Now, I'm not going to say all churches, because some churches that are teaching churches, their Sunday, their sermons and their Sunday morning worship service, they're being taught.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But not every place is like that. So
understood.
I say, even when you're searching for a church, even for, I believe us, our fellow believers out there, you may be searching for a church for any reason.
Mm-hmm.
I say visit the Bible study first.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Make it your point to come to the Bible study.
That's right.
See how they're handling the Word of God.
That's right.
See what they're teaching.
Mm-hmm.
See what is going on. Because a Sunday service may not be, because first of all, Sunday service, you're going to see the crowd.
Right.
A Bible study, you're going to see the remnant.
Mm-hmm. You remember that?
So, it's wisdom and discernment. But like I say, if I minister to young folk or people who are unbelievers,
mm-hmm.
I first try to come to the Bible study.
Yes.
Because there's also in the Bible study, most Bible studies, there's a time of fellowship. There's not that, it's not that aura
yes.
that we tend to put on services.
Right.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. and even meeting the pastor sometimes. Because mm-hmm. on Sunday, you know, pastors, they got a whole lot of stuff going on.
Yes.
And, you know, and again, like you were saying, there's duties and responsibilities of some of the more mature saints.
Yes.
And they might not get to be able to get to that.
That's right.
That new visitor or whatever and to really engage them.
Yes.
So I mean, just mm-hmm. you know, but I'm saying, like we said, we need to understand that being used and served is the fullness of our whole life once we come to Christ,
exactly.
and not exactly. put it in the box of Sunday morning.
That's right.
That this is what I do on Sunday. I'm the right. communion steward. I'm the usher.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the whatever else you got, depending
mm-hmm.
on your church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the video guy.
Yeah.
The audio guy.
Yes.
That's not your reasonable service.
No. That's right.
That's where you're serving. Because this is what needs to be done for that day. But what are you doing the rest of the week?
Yes.
And even in our own local churches, when we talk with, you know, because when we talking to folk, this is your local congregation.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing to help the congregation move forward? That body, your body of local believers. Do you have the passion of the pastor? Do you mm-hmm. have the passion of leadership
mm-hmm.
to go do to glorify that body,
mm-hmm.
and by they of glorifying God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
That's just me. I'm sorry. But we're going to focus right here back on a usable, because that's being usable.
Exactly.
And then what I used to tell men, I'm sorry, I'm come back to you, brothers. I'm sorry, I got one more. This stuff is popping in my head.
Huh?
It's all right. Being used also, I say for men in the church, you're a member of a church, ask your pastor, what does he need?
Please.
Amen.
Amen.
Pastor says amen. Ask your pastor, what does he need? Or ask your senior deacon, or your elders. Mm-hmm. Find out what you can do that the body of that your local congregation needs. Because also that's where a man also has a responsibility. Mm-hmm. If you're a man of God and you're part of a local congregation, you're there to serve and help.
Exactly.
And this is part of it. That's our second subject, but to serve.
That's right.
What are we doing in the local body?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing when it's time to, because, you know, summertime, everybody, you have two kind of Christians. The Uh-oh. Ones on vacation and the ones who ain't.
It's like you're talking about consistency. Mm.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that goes by age. My bishop tells us all the time, mm-hmm. it's not a problem with you. It's not saying you can't go on vacation.
Right.
It's not sinful.
Right.
You still can be holy
right.
and go on vacation.
Right.
However, there's accountability to the thing.
That's right.
And again, this is something people come into church and don't expect to be accountable to nothing.
Mm-hmm. And they're on vacation while you're not on vacation. Well. You're home, but you're on vacation from the church. So long that you have to check your membership and see yeah. if you...
It's a problem when your vacation turns into a sabbatical.
Oh,
you know
really?
What I'm saying?
Wow.
Yeah, you know, sabbatical is that extended stay.
Hell
vacation.
Yeah. Mm.
It's a problem when your vacation turns into a sabbatical. You know, us being usable...
Yes.
Has to come in right after that time when Pastor says amen and after the benediction.
Yep.
Amen.
Because that's when our time to start being usable kicks in. Mm-hmm. Whether it's to help greet people, whether it's to talk to that visitor that just mm-hmm. came in, whether if it's as a minister or a prayer minister to stand there and pray for Pope for people that are in need or have issues.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. We're needed to be there to start serving. And then that extends outside of the church for those that need to be prayed for those that need counseling, for those that need issues.
Amen.
We need to be there to be usable for that. I read an article once, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting. The article was called Addicts in the Pew.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it talked about mm-hmm. the people that sit in our congregations, how they have addictions and have dealt with abuses and mm-hmm. all the things that have gone on in their life. And we sit there as preachers, as pastors, as teachers, and we preach a 20-minute message, and we think that we've done all that we were supposed to do.
Mm.
We go home, we unbuckle our belt, we sit down and have our big chicken dinner, mm. and we think we've done our duty for the day.
Right.
And we haven't even scratched the surface of the issues that the people have in our congregation.
That's right.
The service is not on Sunday morning. Service is what you do to reach those people that have greater issues, that have greater problems, that suffer those abuses, that suffer those addictions,
right.
that are outside of the congregation mm-hmm. or outside the building of the church
mm-hmm.
that need the help. That's when you become usable.
That's right.
When you're willing to extend yourself. You know,
Amen.
We call
That's
it
right.
outreach
That's
because
right.
the only way that you can reach out is to extend yourself.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
So you have to be willing to extend yourself to those that are in need.
And Amen. line up outreach with inreach.
Yes.
You know, too often we outreach, but we don't inreach. You outreach to bring them into the church. You get in the church, you just sit there, you're good now. I got you in the door. Give your offering. Show up. I'm
Give
good.
Give your tithe.
Give right. your tithe. But you don't become usable when you become a leader. You become a leader because you're usable.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And Amen. The thing is, I tell people all the time, it's, oh, well, you did it because you're a pastor. No, this is who I am. You know, when no one else shows up and you show up, when it's just you, me, I remember so many times, it's me and my pastor, whatever church I was at, he's cutting grass, I'm cutting grass. And here's the funny thing, Deke.
Mm-hmm.
He'll say, all with the brothers will come out and cut the grass, or we come out, we're going to go and paint sometime, we're mm-hmm. going to do this. And the brother goes, oh, okay, I'll be there. And then the pastor shows up, and maybe me, and maybe one of the brothers show up, and we're cutting the grass, and we're doing all the stuff. And then next thing you know, I remember we had about a good 2 acres of grass. We had to cut, and then the ride mower had broke,
mm-hmm.
so we pushed that mower. My pastor at the time was about 60-something plus years old, mm-hmm. and he's trying to push the mower. So then, you know, he sat down for a while, so I'm going up and down. One brother showed up. All right, he came in about 10 minutes. He went up and down once or twice. Woo! Hey, that's a lot of work. I gotta go, Pastor.
Yeah.
And so then there's me and the pastor back. And I was gonna leave. I said, well, if he's here now, I'm gonna leave. And then he didn't.
Before you had time to get yourself together.
He's gone.
He was
yeah.
gone.
So I'm gonna leave the pastor. Pastor, okay, well, I'm gonna finish this up. And then so I stayed. So I started pushing back over. The pastor tried. You know, he'd go over. He's 60 plus, almost 70.
Yeah.
So he'd go up and down half when he'd get tired. I'm sorry, brother. No, don't worry about the pastor. So I'm going up and down 3 or 4 times again. Another brother showed up. I said, oh man. So I'm gonna go ahead and take off. So I only got a short period of time, Pastor. So I'm sitting there, and in my little flesh, I was thinking, look, I'm going to go to the road. But by the time the fourth brother did this,
yeah,
I just knew. But then one thing in my heart, I said, God, I want you to know this. I'm doing this for you. And one day I want you to remember me when I need some help. I want you to remember me when I need some help, Father God, because one day I'm gonna, I need your people to come and help me. Send me some people that'll work with me. Yeah. And you best believe I still pray that prayer to this day.
Amen. But you're right. Let's. I want to get back focused, because as men of God, mm-hmm. this should be something that we should be. If we're not there, we should be moving ourselves too.
Yeah.
Because if we come in, because if we're part of a body, mm-hmm. we're part of that local congregation. This is why. Because people who know me know my issues is with, you know, church full of women and brothers ain't doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's and this is something that right away. Because I've heard it and I see it, you know. Mm-hmm. When it comes to, like you said, the things that need to be done around the church, mm-hmm. the cleaning of the church,
yes.
the furniture, the vacuuming
right.
of the
That's
floor.
Right.
These are the
That's
things
right.
that you come to the church, you claim to be a man of God,
yes.
you've given your life to Christ, but yeah. now it's time to serve. And it's time to serve in those things that are not glamorous,
yes.
and that you're not going to get patted on your back every day.
That's right.
Because a child needs to be encouraged every minute of his life and every day.
Not a man.
Not a man.
That's right.
Are you committed?
That's
are you
it.
Have, are mm-hmm. you committed? And mm-hmm. Are you committed to the things of God? And through your commitment to the things of God, mm-hmm. are you moving within the local body that God has placed you in?
Amen.
You didn't just come to the church because that's the church you got saved, because your mama went there,
right.
or because your wife dragged you in and you finally got your life together. But
that's
now
right.
we can't ever find you to do nothing around the church. You're always working.
That's
All
right.
of a sudden, your job is the most important thing.
That's now.
All of a
right.
sudden,
right.
your children, I'm sorry, yeah. I don't want to vent too much, but I don't care.
Right.
So all of a sudden, you got to cut the grass at your house.
Right.
Your house need work. You
right.
need new windows. You need new siding. You need uh-huh. gutters. And I got plans.
Uh-huh.
And I
got
to go. Come on.
Yeah.
How much of that is you can't make time to serve God?
And if 3 weeks has gone past when you're supposed to be doing your shutters and you got one shutter done and you use that as a reason. But you know, I'm saying something real quick for Deke. You know,
go ahead, bro, go ahead.
So many brothers, we've been raised up in homes without a father.
Mm-hmm.
That's no longer an excuse.
No.
We cannot use that as an excuse. You know, I'm one of those brothers. My dad wasn't around growing up. But the thing that God let me do was get around other brothers who has a dad.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got your dad around, I come around you. And I'm saying, watch what you do. I learned how to shave. And I said, this is one I can never remember, forget this one. I learned how to shave by watching one of my good friends, father, teach him how to shave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting there watching him, and I'm sitting there by the bathroom door. I remember we're sitting there. He said, son, it's time. He started going up and showing you shave up, not down. Because,
yeah.
you know, we get these bumps and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there watching him, and I'm just sticking my head in the window in the bathroom, looking at him in the door. He goes, you want to learn this too? And I said, yes, please. So I learned.
Yeah.
What are you saying, brother preacher?
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying this. Too many times, men who grew up around their moms and didn't have dad around, we get into our emotions. We get into our feelings. We input off our mom with our mom. And we start going through it. And we start finding that's too much. You got to pause for a second. Don't use that as an excuse. Get around men and look how men get quiet sometimes. Men speak specifically, how we slow ourselves down. And get around other men and watch how they move. And temper off of them. If you see, oh, he slow down some when he talk. Okay, so I'll slow down and listen sometime. And watch how other men move. And then become accountable. Just real quick. Second Timothy 2:15 said you have to do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed because you are rightly handling the word of truth.
Mm.
You have to do your best to present yourself.
Yeah.
You don't just get the word of God just by saying, I'm going to say, hey, God, give it to me. God, give it. Well, mm-hmm. God will give it to me. You have to do your best to present yourself before God. Lord, use me. Lord, I want to be used. Lord, fix me. Lord, I'm available. Lord, I'm available. Lord, use me. If you don't do that, trust me, you won't be used.
Exactly.
And then you'll be sitting here wondering why, oh, he's being successful, or he's doing this, or what about his family, my family, because you didn't present yourself. And you get into your emotions and your feelings as opposed to what is.
Yeah.
Amen.
There's a book out called The Man God Uses.
Mm-hmm.
It's by Henry and Tom Blackaby.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the statements that they make in that book, he says, each man God used had a responsive heart ready to hear God and a life that was available to obey. We have to have that heart that is responsive enough to say, yes, like you with the pastor wanting to cut the grass.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have that heart that says, okay, I'm going to be out here to help the pastor and mm-hmm. the church do what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. But also I have a life that's available. So if I have a heart to be there to cut the grass, then I have to now make time in my life so that I have enough time to do what's necessary make sure that the grass is cut.
That's right.
If I have a heart to take care of the church, then I have to make sure that my life is set up in such a way that it's available for me to be used to take care of the church. Mm-hmm. We say we have the heart, but we don't set up our lives.
I think that's the biggest struggle.
Yes.
We take salvation for granted.
Yes.
And it's part of taking salvation for granted, and it's taking that we haven't renewed our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't made Christ most important thing, because the church is. Mm-hmm. After family, there's family, there's God, there's family, and the church.
Yes.
Yes.
Even our jobs. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't begrudge you, man. Every man needs to do 40 hours of whatever his skill and talents and ability
is
to provide for his house and family, because that also is to glorify God.
That's right.
But now, everything else.
Everything else.
Football, basketball, mm-hmm. fishing, TV,
mm-hmm.
all that is disposable time. And how much of that time are you giving to God?
Exactly.
Because there's the time that you need to spend with God in devotion and prayer.
Yes.
There's time you need to spend in discipling and ministering to your family and to your wife.
Mm-hmm.
You're working on your marriage relationship.
That's right.
So through all those things, but you can't use those things.
It's an excuse.
As not to serve for God, mm-hmm. as an excuse to serve for God.
Wow.
Because we haven't reached, like you were saying, we haven't, the word I'm looking for is restructured our life.
Exactly.
I restructured life after salvation. Because mm-hmm. this salvation, the miracle and gift of God, should go run through the whole thread of our life.
Exactly.
And we don't. We put it in a box.
Should be the common denominator.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we talked about this before. We punched our spiritual time clock.
Yeah.
Mm.
I did 2 hours on Sunday.
That's
I did Bible study on Wednesday.
Yes. There you go.
Don't call me and ask me about nothing about the church.
And we should,
I'm there. I'll be there on Sunday. Yeah. I used to see this all the time. You see a brother on Sunday or whatever, I'll say, I'll see you again Sunday. Really? I got to wait a whole week to see you again?
Mm-hmm.
Are we in fellowship?
And you're
going to text me, Instagram me, Facebook me, Snipe me.
Something.
I got to wait till Sunday. You say you really going to tell me I'm going to be 6 days before I see you again.
But men, we actually feel like we really did something big because we showed up for church. You know, when a man, you know, it's like, you know, I can't, man said this, you know, pastor, you know, man, I bring my whole family to church. And that's good. It's admirable. Mm-hmm. But it's what you should do.
Yeah.
It's sad. Now, don't get me wrong. I applaud that, brothers. Please don't think I'm belittling that. But it's sad when that's the height of who you are.
And your Christian walk.
As opposed to being the common thing in who you are. That's just the beginning. I bring my family to church. It's what I do. It's because who I am. And then everything else adds on top of that. But instead, we too often men act like, you know, hey, look, hey, I stay longer than time to go to football game. I mean, a football game is on past, you know, and I stay past the football game. And
but I'm committed to 3 hours
committed.
Of the game.
Yeah.
But I'm not committed. You know what? I'm sorry.
We talk about in church all the time about giving tithes.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time when we talk about giving tithes, we talk about it in a monetary sense.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
But tithe is your talent, your time, and your treasure. Mm-hmm. So that we have to understand that if we have 24 hours in a day,
mm-hmm.
then we need to be giving 10% of that time to God, at least.
At least.
At a minimum.
At a minimum.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So that it's not just about the 4 hours I spend at church on mm-hmm. Sunday. It's not just about me coming to Bible study on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I have to make sure that I am giving the proper tithe of my time as well. So that I'm now setting up my life to do that. And many of us mm-hmm. don't set up our lives. You know, when I set up my life with my wife, I was like, baby, understand that as a pastor, as a minister, there are times where I'm going to get a call and have to leave.
Mm-hmm.
That means that whatever we're doing is going to have to get dropped and mm-hmm. going to have to move because mm-hmm. this is about ministry.
My God.
We will have times where ministry does not affect what we do.
Yes.
But there are times where ministry is going to have to affect what we do. So we have our date night on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Ministry does not affect Friday night.
Yes.
Okay.
Amen.
But Monday through Thursday, Monday other than Friday,
mm-hmm.
I could get a call and anything that happens will get dropped because this is about ministry. And I've set up my life so that happens.
That's right.
That's what, right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And that's because I have a heart. to be used.
Wow.
But that's, again, this is the importance of men's ministry in churches, because mm-hmm. we have to teach men this.
Yes.
That's right. This is not something that's going to come naturally. By osmosis mm-hmm. and naturally. Mm-hmm. This is why when we have an opportunity to bring men together and say, you know what? Look at your life.
That's right.
Look at what you're doing. Look where your time is being spent. The Bible says, number your days.
That's right.
So we have to look at it. I mean, it's not, I'm not going to say it's something easy, but we have to be on purpose about our walk and our salvation.
That's right.
Exactly.
Because that's part of the sanctification process. You can't grow in nothing that you're not putting time into.
That's right.
Okay?
That's perfect.
Let me go back to the natural.
Yes.
You can't get no bachelor's degree unless you do the coursework. You can't be a master's candidate until you qualify to get into the program and to do the work.
That's right.
You can't play sports in high school, elementary school, sandlot, whatever.
Right.
If you don't put no time in and can shoot a jump shot. I'm not born. I know I'm black and everything. But I wasn't born with a jump shot. Yeah. I had to work on it. Mm-hmm. I had to learn how to do the low, work a low post.
Yeah.
Okay? Uh-huh. Football. Yeah. You're not going to get out there. You're not going to be O.J. Peyton. I mean, what's the guy from Chicago?
Man. Sweetness.
Yeah, Sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some people are watching and know who that is. That's why I'm using those names. Walter Payton. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be, you know, all these guys, Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
You're not going to be them unless you put the time in.
That's right.
You're not going to make University of Maryland football. You're
That's
not going
right.
to make Glen Burnie High School, Old Mill.
That's
You're
right.
not going to make none of those things unless you put the time in and get the skill set that's required.
That's exactly right.
The knowledge
right.
and the understanding. So, why do we see it, brothers and men, that in the Church of God, that we don't think we have to do anything.
Yeah.
We don't have to make adjustments.
Wow.
That's we want to lead our families. We want to read the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Or we want to read wives obey your husband.
Right.
What is she obeying and following? Because you're not putting no time in the word.
Exactly right.
But because trust me, she's following exactly what you're doing. If your wife is jacked, it's because what you're doing.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna say what you ain't doing. No. She's following exactly the example you're setting.
That's exactly right.
So unless you fix yourself, and for the pastors and leaders, unless you have a men's ministry and you engage in these brothers on these circuit things,
that's right.
How to readjust their life? Let me bring it to another temporal means.
Go for it.
Financial planning. Uh-oh. We got programs and classes out here to get people's credit together so they can afford their first home.
Yes.
We have programs to get them in their first home.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them how to budget.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them how to get their bank account. Mm-hmm. How to get their finances together, pay off their debt, to bring their debt credit rating down.
Mm-hmm.
How about we bring Holy Spirit rating up?
That's right.
And how are we going to do that?
That's right.
We have to do. You have to engage folk again in men's ministry. We have to teach men to be husbands and fathers.
That's
we
exactly
can't just
right.
take it for granted.
That's right.
You know, and you know, I'm sorry, I'm ranting again.
But you're doing all right.
You're doing
but,
all right.
You know, just bring it to the temporal and bring these principles into the church. The church, matter of fact, the church had these principles originally, but we take them out in the world, and because some people can get, they can prosper off of them, they like to use them. But when we talk about it spiritually, you know, we're not ready. We can't get, as you brothers know, we call a men's prayer night at the building.
Right.
Because now we use a phone.
Right.
But,
right.
Know, because
right.
brothers, can, you know, they can dial in. And,
yeah.
Know. Anyway, call a prayer, a right. men's prayer night yeah. at the building.
Right.
And run it for 7 weeks. And, you know, like God said, take a census.
Right.
And then take a census of the brothers you got to show up on your Sunday.
Right.
And see what it, and see the what's it? The delta, the negative,
right.
the
exactly.
numbers.
That's right. That's right.
And then ask yourself, are we being effective in our men?
Well, men, we've been reconditioned again.
Yeah.
You know, we feel that a men's fellowship, and I stopped doing this at an Uplift because we would have our fellowship meant that we come together, we go out to a restaurant, we sit down, we eat, or we come, even on the times we come together, we bring in our coffee, or and that's not bad. Don't get me wrong. It's not a bad thing. But it's sad when that's the only thing that'll bring a brother out. The fact it's going to be some food. One brother said it flat out. He just flat out said it. Hey, we have food? Yeah, we have food. Well, then I'm there. And I said, what if we don't have any food this time? Well, I don't know. You know, and the sad part about it is the fact that maybe he said it in kind of a jest, but I don't think he was.
Right.
And the thing about it is we've been reconditioned to the fact that we feel that I want instantaneous response quickly for a little bit of time I put in. We don't want to put any skin in the game. You have to put some skin in the game in order to become good. Like you said, I remember when I was out there. You're right. I was 5'4" for a long time. When everybody was growing.
Really? Wait, how tall are you now?
I'm about 5'10", just short of 5'10". Okay, okay, but it took a long time. Everybody was growing. I'm just so short. And I'm looking at the guys in the game. I'm still trying to dribble. Yeah. And everybody just running around. I'm, man. But I had to get out there. And I had no skills. But I'm out there with other guys running and trying to dribble and trying to play and throw. And after a while, it got to the point where at least I can go, okay, well, all right, we'll pick you. And I'm like, wow. But then my other friend, he had a naturally given talent. But he said, yeah, I'll come out and practice. And after a while, guess what? Got there, and I beat him. He mm-hmm. was like, what? How'd you beat me? And that's why I got a couple inches, and I grew about 5'6", 5'7". Whoop. But I'm saying this. I put some time in. It's the same thing spiritually. Men, when you come to church, yeah, we did all the stuff. Maybe you may have been a doctor. Maybe you may have a double doctor degree. Maybe you may have no degree. You may just have the streets degree. But the problem, when you come to church, stop trying to think it's going to change overnight. Mm. You have to put some time in. Dedicate yourself to say, God, I'm trying to work on me and work on everything around me. And then what ends up happening is, after you put some time in, you'll see the results. You put a steak, you put something in the oven and just turn it on, flash, broil, you get it burnt all right, but the inside is raw. But if you take slow down something and cook it the right way, it'll be done right.
It's wait the same minute, Pastor, see, and I'm going to help some of the people watching. You do know we have microwaves now. And I can cook a pound and a half steak in like 6 minutes. And it'll be tender and juicy.
Yeah, but
so this is what I'm accustomed to. Yeah. So if my spirituality, if I can get spirituality in 3 minutes, I'll even put the microwave cover on top to help trap some of the heat and cook it even faster.
Yeah.
I need the microwave. I ain't got time to be sanctified. Pastor, come on.
You're right.
I need to get there. I need to move it. I need to make it happen. Because I can't wait.
That's exactly right.
I need my popcorn now.
Now, right.
Pastor, I'm going to say something that's going to be a bit controversial, but pastors, it's our fault.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Why is it our fault? Because we often talk about, you know, if you go to work, you're going to get a check for the 80 hours you spent.
Right.
And men will make time to make sure that they're at work.
Right.
To make sure that they're getting their 80 hours so they can get that check.
Amen.
We have a fellowship and we say we're going to have food.
Mm-hmm.
And we bring coffee and donuts. And, mm-hmm. and they say, okay, if I'm going to get something, then I'm coming out for it.
Right.
The problem is that once we got them there, we didn't tell them the benefits of service.
Exactly.
We didn't tell them the benefits of being used. Mm-hmm. We didn't tell them about hearing, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
I agree.
We didn't hear, we haven't taught them the rewards of what comes with being a good servant. Mm-hmm. That they that wait upon the Lord, and that word wait does not mean to stand there and look at
actively
him,
waiting,
but to be the servant like a waiter in a restaurant.
Exactly.
That they that wait upon the Lord, that means that sit there and are ready to do whatever he tells them to do at his beck and call, shall mount up on wings that is of eagles.
That's right.
We haven't preached the benefits of service and being used.
Well, you're right. I believe that that's part of it, too. We haven't taken the time.
Yeah.
But to me, that comes with teaching the full gospel.
Exactly.
Yes.
Looking at Scripture, because it's all throughout Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
We have the lives of Joseph. We have the lives of Daniel. We have the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Mm-hmm. They had a promise that they never saw, but they were faithful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then this is what, again, this goes back to the full counsel and wisdom of the Word of God. Instead of coming with I'm coming right to you. It's coming to the microwave of it all.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Of coming to it's going to be. It's not going to be.
Because
you're not going to, no matter what. And let me say this, that no matter what's going on, your reward is not here in this temporal earth.
Exactly.
Nope. On this little blue planet, marble, whatever people want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
This is not our final reward.
That's right.
I don't care if I get everything I ever wanted, my heart desire.
That's right.
With all the stuff that you hear and the things that people promise God, that God is this. And you know that we don't go there. But that we just need to. The gospel message is a message of eternity.
That's right. That's right.
Not as long as we're walking up here.
That's right.
Because what did the Bible say?
That's right.
He removed the sting of
death.
That's
death. That's exactly right.
He's removed the sting of this fleshly body passing over.
That's right.
The sting is gone. We're not afraid of death.
That's right.
What we ought to do, like you said, we want to wait and serve and be usable while we're here on earth.
Exactly.
Right. For God's glory.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that's what we get off course on. We're not teaching it.
Yep.
And we're not feeding men to understand that.
Exactly. That's right.
Because when you can do that, all the stuff that goes on as husbands and fathers and the things we deal with won't affect us, like you said. It won't move our emotions
because
we have a bigger vision.
That's right.
And we know that this too is going to come. But again, our character will show how we respond to the circumstances and situations of life, because it's not going to all go our way.
Right. That's right.
Okay. Now, if you've got a pastor that tells you that, I advise you to come visit.
That's right.
I'll flip the world ministry at 107 Mountain Road in Pasadena, Maryland.
Amen.
Just visit. You ain't got to join.
Just visit. That's
just
all.
Just visit.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Pastor.
You made a good point. I'll spin off real quick, Dick. You talking about the microwave, and that's very good. You brought that up, Dick. That, mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's the mentality that men have now. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna tell you what, and you're right, Pastor Larry. We, the church, we're guilty because we've given a man a walk in the door. And I'm gonna step on somebody's toes that's listening to me, probably. Mm-hmm. A man will walk in the door, going through a divorce. No integrity in his own home, not real respect in his own community, we'll make him a deacon.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll ordain him. I've seen men who will line men up and walk in the door because he walks in the door, and will give him a title because he walks in the door and come to church like two or three Sundays in a row. We'll give him a title. And what ends up happening is because you're trying to build the church. And those churches will grow fast. They really will. They'll spring up real quick because the pastor, when you walk in the door, and I'm going to tell you this, man, if you walk in the door and a man tell you, oh yeah, and within 2 days, he want to give you a title and start licensing you, make you a deacon or elder or evangelist, or something, you need to run. Because he's just trying to use the men, and that's what happens these days. They get in churches, you have a line up and have seven deacons you just ordained who are like 10 years old, only been married for 2 days or never will not marry. And you want to ordain them as a deacon.
Wow.
And then you wonder why. Then the other pastor who's sitting up here saying, I'm going to teach you how to live. I'm going to teach you how to be usable, how to use the word of God in your everyday life. That, yeah, no, but this pastor is going to give me a title. I'll go over here. I get that microwave title. I'll be a elder in 2 weeks. A program you got laid out. When I finish classes, I'll finish these classes in 6 months. I'll be this. I'll be that. I'll be this. And those churches have a bunch of titles, a bunch of positions, microwave positions, but they don't have any substance.
Exactly.
No depth.
And that's what we're called to do. We're called to build the body of Christ. The body of Christ should be deep and not wide. You know, just like we look at, you know, like a frozen pond. It's all frozen on the top, but underneath, there's no thickness to the ice, so it's dangerous.
Yeah.
So when any weight comes or pressure comes, the ice is going to break. Amen?
Yeah.
Mr. Larry.
We have to make, Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing.
That's right.
For we know that in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart.
Mm-hmm.
That means that we have to make sure that they may want microwave, but we got to put it in the broiler like we're supposed to.
Amen.
They may want to build quickly, but we have to make sure that we set a good foundation and build it the way that it needs to be built.
Amen.
And no matter, even if we see those things that are springing up because it is microwave, we have to make sure that we don't get upset, weary, and well-doing.
That's
We don't get upset because I'm doing it this way and I'm building it properly.
Amen.
And it's taking time. But they're building it quickly, and it's rising up quickly, and it looks better than ours.
Uh-huh.
But in the end, when the winds come,
that's
right,
the storms come,
mm-hmm.
theirs will crumble, and ours will still be standing because we built it properly.
That's right.
You know, Jerry Rice wouldn't be Jerry Rice without the time he put in
to
make himself Jerry Rice.
Because he went to, where did he go, Mississippi State or Mississippi Valley State? Mm-hmm. He went to a small college.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was recently listening to an interview, and one of the old NFL Niners used to say that when they had rookie camps, he was like, Jerry, you don't have to come for this.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But Jerry was there 2 days before the rookies were there.
That's right.
Because he was Jerry Rice.
My God.
You know what I'm saying? But he had to put in the time to be that.
Yes.
When everybody else is trying to use steroids and everything else, he put in the time that was necessary. That's what made him the GOAT, the greatest of all time.
Wow.
Because he put in the time.
Amen.
We have to make sure that we are not weary in well-doing.
That's
have to put in the time. We have to be usable. We have to put in the service so that when we build it right and it'll stand and stand the test of time.
Amen. So I encourage any pastors and elders listening, even if you're a lay member of the church, our passion here at Issues is men's ministry. I beseech you to start a men's ministry. And when you in your men's ministry, we passed the talk, and I've been to them. I understand the prayer breakfasts, the pancake breakfasts, the spaghetti, whatever. But when your men, when you have an opportunity to bring your men together, please put something in them that's going to help them grow. It's going to encourage them. That's going to move them forward. Because you know that we have wives and children dependent on these men.
That's right.
And a pancake breakfast. I can't feed you a pancake breakfast. You can't take that home to feed your family.
That's right.
I can't have a night out, whatever. You know, you can't take that. They can't take that home to feed their family. But if we get, but if we give them the principles in the Word of God, they can always take that home to their family because they should be leading their family.
That's right.
In spiritual, in Bible study. Again, I always tell folk, it's simple. I tell a brother, any brother that I meet, I don't care if you've been saved forever or if you've been just got saved. You can take a home Bible study and start it off the sermon from Sunday.
Ask your wife what she heard. That's right.
You and your wife talk about what was heard, and then between the two of y'all, teach it to your children. Family Bible study.
That's right.
And you ain't even got to study.
That's right.
Your pastor's done it for you.
Done it for you.
Until you're ready.
Wow.
Amen.
Wait a minute, Dico, you saying a man should be the priest of his own home?
He should be the primary. Wow. No, Lord Jesus, help me. Yeah. Let me read this in closing. I'm glad you brought that up. Oh, Lord Jesus. There's six essential gifts and attributes of character and life that every man must give his sons and daughters. They are love, acceptance, value, intimacy, discipline, and security. When a father gives his children love, they grow healthy lives. When he gives acceptance, they gain personal affirmation. When he gives value, they increase their sense of destiny. When he gives intimacy, they are able to worship God as well as build healthy relationships. When a father disciples his children, disciplines his children, he shows them he truly loves them.
That's right.
When a man provides security, it reinforces their sense of God's love and grace towards them. These are essential. They cannot be held back or given to wife or pastor to accomplish.
Right. Yes.
This is a man's role as father. This is just what's expected as a man. When we make a baby, we become a father, and it's just that, it's just what we do. Let's build a new generation of great fathers by becoming good dads. It's never too late to start. Start it now, and God, we know you can. That was written by Paul Lewis Cole from the Christian Men's Network. And that's something that I read, and I encourage men. It's up to you.
That's right.
If your pastor, your pastor could be a wonderful man.
That's right.
And he could be a godly man, a man of wisdom. But you should be taking his, God has put him in your life to give, to feed you, for you to feed your family. Because we talked about this before. That was another show. But your pastor is not the covering of your wife.
That's right.
He's not the covering of your children.
That's right.
If he tells you that.
Something's wrong.
Come visit us at 107 Mountain Road, Suite W. In Pasadena, Maryland.
That's right.
You are the cover for your home.
Exactly. Yes.
God has ordained you to be the husband and father and your pastor and God, and through the Holy Spirit,
He's
going to prepare you and sanctify you to walk in that role.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
This has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. You can contact us at rejoicetv@gmail.com or give us a call at 443-591-3504. We invite you to come down and join the conversation.